This is ACS Voices, the diversity podcast from the American Chemical Society. I'm your host, Dr. Ben Fiore Walker, manager of the Department of Diversity Programs.
All right. We're here at ACS Leadership Institute in Dallas, Texas. And I'm sitting with Sahil. Is that right, Kurt?
Yes. Sahil.
And we are here at the Renaissance Fair, the Resource Fair. And so, Sahil, tell us your story. What brings you to ACS?
So I am Sahil Sachdeva, and I am the chair of ACS Student Chapter, Chandigarh Engineering College, India. So what made me join ACS was that I was into research and innovation. So my professor, basically I'm a mechanical engineer. But my interest in research, so my professor told me that I should join ACS because if I would publish my research work in ACS, it would provide me various opportunities. Like ACS provides various opportunities like internship, it has various awards. So my goal was to develop my leadership skills. And the various opportunities which ACS gave me was that last year I was awarded with the International Travel Grant. So I came at the national meeting in Washington, D.C. So this time I attended the leadership workshop. Because I was sponsored with this award, I got Leadership Development Award. So my whole trip was sponsored both the times. So I'm really thankful to ACS. And apart from this, I would suggest people to join ACS because ACS provides a lot of opportunities. You can publish your work, you can get the grants, you can get various awards, you can apply for internships abroad, and then you can opt for postdocs. It also provides various job opportunities. Yeah.
All right, so let me get that straight. You were in India.
Yeah.
And your professor in India.
No, I am a student.
You're a student here.
I'm a student at India.
In India, okay. And was it your professor that suggested you come to ACS? Was it a professor in India?
Yeah.
Okay. So come to ACS and publish your papers in mechanical engineering?
No, I have done research in science. I have basically built a satellite for NASA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What? Okay, so you've built a satellite for NASA.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. And then, so what was the ACS connection again? So was it for networking and for, because you seem very accomplished for a graduate student.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So ACS helped me develop my leadership skills.
All right.
At the meetings, national meeting, I met a lot of people. So it was good for networking, like knowing people, knowing the opportunities that are available in the global world. So that made me join ACS.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. So you have any advice for people thinking about going into the field you went into or to chemistry or joining ACS?
Yeah, I would suggest people of all trades to join ACS. Since I am a mechanical engineer, that does not mean that ACS is related to just chemistry. ACS provides benefits to all types of people. So that's my suggestion.
All right. Well, Sahil, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're here again at ACS Leadership Institute.
Right.
I'll get it out. And now I'm speaking with Tori. So, Tori, tell us a little about yourself. Tell us your story.
So I'm a university professor. So I'm at the University of Iowa. But
Iowa. All my family is from Iowa, by
really?
The way.
Really?
Where both at? Of my parents, Sioux City.
Okay.
And Albia.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't ever expect to be a university professor. I grew up in a tiny little town in the middle of nowhere. It's an interesting to think about the journey that I've come to.
Uh-huh.
My dad was a farmer, but he always encouraged me to get my hands dirty. And so I think that's why I was attracted to science.
Uh-huh.
And it's been really helpful. That sort of farmer background has been helpful in setting up a lab and pushing through the challenges in science.
Yeah, so is it because you think the entrepreneurial spirit of it?
I think so.
Because that's very
so.
Much like that, setting up a lab in a university. You feel like you are the CEO of your lab.
Exactly. Yeah. But one of my favorite things about being a university professor is just the students and seeing where they've come from and where they're going.
Uh-huh.
And so that's what's one of the most exciting things I think about science is our students.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we were speaking before we started recording a little bit about podcasting and getting stories out and getting information out. And you had some thoughts about that.
Yeah. I just, you know, we're in a challenging time right now with science.
Yes.
Getting the public to understand the importance of science. And so one of the things I was so excited to see you here doing these podcasts, because I think that telling stories is the most powerful way of communicating science.
Yes.
And so, you know, being able to have people have that personal connection to science will get them to actually care more about it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, you know, we're not trained as scientists to tell stories, or so we think. Every time we write a journal article, we are telling a story, but it's told to a specific audience. And so I think we need to think about that as we're communicating science, is how are we telling our story?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think this is a really powerful way to do it.
Yeah. One odd way that I did, knowing that I wanted to be a college professor and a scientist, is I took acting.
Oh, interesting.
In college. And I figured, yeah, you know, when standing in front of my class, sometimes I am acting.
No, you're
right.
That
I know what I'm doing, you know.
No, that's how you engage the students, right?
Yeah.
Is to really be that presence on the stage and to help them understand, like, where they fit and to get them engaged in science. And so I think acting, and I've seen this with some of the best lecturers and best professors in front of a class are the ones that are sort of edutainment in some ways.
Yes, edutainment. That's what I called it. It's like you're having fun, and maybe at the end of the 75-minute class, you may have learned something.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
If you put your defenses down, I may be able to teach you something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's also really powerful for people to hear diverse voices, too.
Yes.
Where they can see that science isn't just belonging to one demographic.
Right.
And
right.
So that's why I think these stories are so powerful.
And some of the stories, you think, well, hey, I thought that.
Yeah.
I didn't think I could do it because of when I first took chemistry, I got a C.
Yeah.
So now
right.
I can't be a chemist.
Well, that's the thing.
You know?
It's like I hear students all the time like, oh, you must be so smart. You know everything. When they don't realize that, you know, I still don't know a lot.
That's the point, right?
Exactly.
It's the discovery,
right?
You know, it's the finding out, and people say, I'm a neuroscientist, so I got my PhD in neuroscience. People are like, oh, neuroscience, you must be, you know, so it's like, no, I know, you know, to quote my mother, I know enough to come in when it's raining,
right?
You know, but no, I don't know everything because the whole point is
it's more about pushing through those challenges, that I think is what people don't understand is like if you hit a challenge and you're like, oh, I give up.
Yeah.
And being able to have a support network to say, like, no, you're not dumb.
No.
This is not all about you. This is, like, or your abilities. This is the way it is.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, as a first-gen college student, and those were challenges, right? To
sure.
be like, oh, I belong here.
Yes.
And
imposter syndrome.
Oh, gosh.
It's like, oh, they made a mistake. As soon as they find out that I'm not this all-knowing thing, you know.
But it comes back to that acting idea where you fake it till you make it almost, right?
Yeah.
Like, I have to believe that I belong here, and I'm gonna believe that I do. And then you realize that you do.
Yeah.
Oh, you do belong here.
Yeah.
And so, letting people know that, right?
Letting people know that. Letting people know that what they're thinking is completely normal.
Yes.
It's completely what is happening, and you're not the first person to think that.
Yeah.
Is very important. And that was the reason why we decided to do these podcasts.
That's
is
great.
Really to let people know that they're not alone.
Right.
And if they hear, they're not in some silo thinking, well, everyone else is smarter than me.
Right.
Especially when people think of chemistry. They think of, oh my goodness, there's no way I could do that. It's like, you know, and then some of the reaction videos that ACS has show the chemistry behind every little thing. And it's like, you're actually doing chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, when you're cooking and you're following a recipe, that's doing chemistry.
Right.
And knowing a little bit about the ingredients and how they react to heat or not, you know, to how much heat and with other things, That's chemistry.
That's chemistry.
And my daughter, who is 8 and a half,
oh,
she has decided that she wants to be a chemist.
My son, who is 9, is considering this right now.
Yeah. And so on our refrigerator, we have a magnet that says, cooking is like chemistry. You just don't lick the spoon. You know, or chemistry is like cooking. Just don't lick the spoon. Yeah.
That's a good advice.
Yeah. So, but, and that's exactly what it is. It's following a recipe and figuring it out. But then you think about, well, what was it behind the result that got it that, so I can tweak it the next time.
Yeah.
And I found that people are doing that a lot more than they're like, well, you're doing chemistry. No, I'm not. I'm just cooking.
Right.
Or I'm just like, well, that's what it is.
Exactly.
You know?
We have that problem with undergraduates in the lab, too, where they'll come in and being like, well, I'm just doing this one thing. It's not chemistry. And it's like, no, you're contributing. Like, this is a really important experiment. You may not realize it, but it is.
Yeah, right.
And so you can feel very small, but realize, like, in the big picture, you're helping to solve the world's problems.
Right. And the mistakes can tell you something.
Exactly. Like, I tell my students, like, you're going to make hundreds of mistakes, and I'm not going to be mad at you. And you're not going to fail science, right? I think that's what some people think. Oh, I got a C in chemistry, I can't do research. When your grade in chemistry really doesn't tell you whether you're going to be a great researcher or not.
Right. And it helps you weed out things that you may not be interested in.
Yes.
And just because you're a chemist or a neuroscientist or a physicist doesn't mean you like everything about the discipline. You have things that you like and things like, I never know I didn't like that.
That's fine. My physical chemistry faculty colleagues, a lot of them will tell you that they did terrible in organic chemistry.
Yeah.
And the organic chemists will tell you, and these are faculty, remember, I was terrible at physical chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, just remember that they're not great at everything.
Right. It's like, so I'm not going to teach that subject.
Right,
or, you
exactly.
know, without a very thick instructor's manual I'll be a couple pages ahead.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. But and that's that's a good thing for people to realize and for people to understand.
Yeah.
And thank you for sitting down.
No, this has been fantastic. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Sure.
That was awesome.
Well, we are here at ACS Leadership Institute, and now sitting with me, I have Jay. Jay, tell us your story.
Well, hi, Ben. Thanks for having me. Jay Schiller, and I am the new chair for the ACS Committee on Chemists with Disabilities, and I am here at the Leadership Institute to learn all the great things that these fantastic leaders can show me and teach me and inform me about how better to lead the committee and achieve our goals.
Okay. So what kind of – are you a chemist by training?
So I am a chemist.
Okay.
I have a bachelor's degree in chemistry from the University of Delaware, and have been in the industry ever since graduating, and currently work for Merck, supporting their drug development by supporting the GLP preclinical bioanalytical group.
Okay, so is it, are you in Whitehorse Station or?
West Point. The
West Point.
Site.
Oh,
yes.
That's where my father worked at West Point.
Is that right?
For Merck, yes.
Okay, wow.
So it's a small world. Yes, he was manager of external communications.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So
that's great.
And he did a lot of the science writing for Merck. And I like to say Merck is what put me through college.
That's fantastic. Yeah, so we have a similar legacy. So I have a grandfather and a great uncle who both worked at the Rahway site back in the 40s.
Yeah,
So
when he first started, he was in the Rahway site.
Yeah.
And he used to take the train from suburban Philadelphia up to Rahway every day.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he was very happy when he moved to West Point. But that was later on. And he worked for Astra, Merck, and AstraZeneca, and all the different permutations that it went through right before he retired in, mid-90s he retired.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
So, and then I never saw him because he was always off traveling, or he and my mom would go visit my sister and in Europe. And so, but we digress. What kind of chemistry you do?
Yeah, so do bioanalysis
okay.
of small molecules and peptides for in the development space. tox studies. So I have a group of 12 scientists, actually 14 scientists, that analyze samples using automated liquid handlers and LCMS for quantitative LCMS.
Okay.
Yep.
So what things can ACS do for chemists with disabilities? I don't know, this is just my feeling. I feel like sometimes that population is overlooked in a lot of things, and we really want to right that wrong.
Right. Yeah, so one of the things that I've tried to bring to the group is my experience from the industry.
Yeah.
And Merck has a huge diversity and inclusion effort, and has been for quite a long time. One of the things that they decided to do is to make, you know, to enhance inclusion and make everybody feel valued at work, is show what success looks like.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And, oh, by the way, this person just happens to have a disability. Or, by the way, this person just happens to be, you know, African American. But this is what success looks like at Merck, and this is what we value every day. I think sharing those stories of ACS members and what they've gotten out of ACS from the different perspectives of the different committees and different people, I think would go a long way to doing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely about the inclusion and saying that this person is doing these great things, and they happen to have, you know, a disability. Or so is it now? This is always something that comes up. Is the correct term a person with disabilities or a person with altered abilities, or because it just, as I think, speaking from diversity and inclusion, that's one of the many topics that people get afraid of, and they don't want to offend,
right?
So they don't say anything, which is actually sometimes even more offensive,
right?
You know, or they exclude that group because they don't want to offend. And so, what is the correct term?
Yeah. So everybody's different.
Yes.
Right. Typically, we call a particular group somebody with a disability, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the most appropriate. But on a personal one-to-one level, call them their name, and ask them their question.
Yeah.
You know, if you're interested, wow, you're doing so great, or wow, how did you, you know, get to that spot, you know, and how does that inform your journey, right?
Sure.
And we talk a lot about on the committee about how our unique perspectives have informed our journey and made us better because of it.
Yeah.
And I think those are the lessons that we'd like to share with ACS.
Yeah. I think that's very important. I love the fact you're like, we're talking on one-on-one, call them their name.
Yeah.
What an interesting concept, you know? You call them their name.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Now I'm here at ACS Leadership Institute, and I'm speaking with Miriam.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Miriam, tell us your story.
Well, I'm actually a research assistant professor at Syracuse University, and I'm originally from Central America.
Okay.
And so...
Which country in Central America?
I'm from Belize.
Belize?
Yeah,
okay.
So quite a mix. And I have my background is Maya Indian, Spanish, and Arab.
Okay.
So I was very fortunate to have great mentors. Great mentors in chemistry. And so one of the things is my husband is a local high school teacher in the city of Syracuse School District. And in Syracuse, we have a growing community of first generation refugee high school students.
Okay.
And from Yemen, Sudan, Burma, Vietnam. And there's no one really reaching out to these students to give them an enriching experience and help them with college applications. So we thought that we would try to meet this need somehow. And we're very fortunate that we pitched it to the Dean of Arts and Science at Syracuse University, Dean Rulin, along with the chair of the department, Dr. Corder, and they were on board. And so the program kind of ran where we're doing a chemistry enrichment program. We got these students to come up to Syracuse University for 2 weeks. They're rising juniors.
Okay.
And the first week we had Professor Doyle McLinetz, Korondovich, and the Rulin Lab, where their grad students did hands-on research with them in all these areas. of these young refugee students to teach them all this information.
And you said and these are high school?
These are high school students,
awesome.
Rising juniors.
Yeah.
So it's pretty exciting. And then the second week, one of the co-coordinators we got on board was part of the ACS, Gary Bonomo, and the lab manager for chemistry at SU. So they provided all of the lab supplies. So the second week, it would start with morning sessions where I teach chemistry about the experiments they'll be doing in the afternoon, and then they're doing labs, and we increase the lab from let's make slime and have fun to let's actually now look at DNA and extract it to a higher level and just kind of give them life skills along the way, study skills. We got to do the physics department had the eclipse party during that time, and we take them across for breakfast. Show them SU. We actually also took them to the freshman orientation for students, where they saw all the different tables for arts and sciences. A lot of them want to go on to do forensics and PhD in chemistry. So it was just an exciting opportunity to reach out to the community. And what was exciting too was we had a Muslim student from Yemen, and it was the first opportunity her parents allowed her to attend outside of the community.
Really?
Yeah. So
so why do you think she picked that to allow her child to do that? Is it because of the track record you had? And
well, we had developed previous relationship with the high school, and Bobby Kuna, their teacher and mentor, really was the one in the loop to connect us with these students and to talk to the parents and just to engage with them and say, you know, it's an opportunity. Here's due diligence on our part with what it provides to them, what they'll be learning, and to give them an up and up of everything we're doing. It's very different working with Muslim students, women Muslim students, and especially refugees coming from these different areas.
Sure.
A lot of them are translating for their parents, paying the bills, while they're also in like ninth grade. So it was an exciting time.
And it's great. I mean, I love when you told me about it. I loved it because that is where you get people off track, right? When they can't, they don't have access to the same resources or experiences of people who aren't translating for their parents, aren't working in family stores to support their parents or their families. So they have the opportunity to do a lot of these things, especially some of the more labor-intensive disciplines like science, where you have not only a lecture, but you may have a lab at different times. Well, those are times where they're not helping their families, so they don't do them. And when they're in young grade school, early high school, that's where you see the divergence. And then they don't go on to be the scientists, don't go on. So I love the fact that you're getting them exposed to that. Do you have something for the parents also? The parents are also doing something so they feel included?
Well, actually, that's a great research. We haven't done that yet, but we just piloted the program last summer, and we're actually planning a follow-up in 2 weeks with the students. We want to keep them connected in chemistry, and we want to invite them back this coming summer to do hands-on research as rising seniors.
Yeah.
But now that you mentioned with the parents, what we need to do is bring them on board at our thank you party or something. Thank you for that idea.
You're welcome. Free charge.
But I do know what we did was we gave them new lab coats and safety goggles. They took it home, and the parents were super excited about it.
Yeah.
And we also, during the program, videotape a little documentary for the parents to see.
Yeah.
And also did a slide deck of the students in lab coats and experiencing it. And I think one of the parents, I think they were just so thankful and heartfelt from the feedback we got from them.
That's great.
Yeah.
That is great. But yeah, one of the things you could do with the parents is really to get them involved or thinking about what it would mean for their children to be scientists. Right? So And go through the whole process. I mean, you showed them the college orientation. Talk to them about taking the entrance exam to get into college. And then once they're in college, these are the curricula that they can take. So they have some understanding and some knowledge. And I know, and be there to answer any questions they have.
Actually, one of the things we're doing in 2 weeks is I put together a college application packet already for them and how to walk them through and what the parents need and all that. And I think it's just, I don't know, they're hungry. They're hungry for opportunities. They're hungry for people to show and help them and to be involved and to be a part. And the more they are, the more they're willing to be a part and give back too.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, do you have an ACS chemistry club on your campus?
Yes, we do.
Give a student chapter.
We need to get them involved.
Yeah, get them involved. Get the student chapters involved. Yes. And then, I guess the ACS chemistry club is at a high school. You can have these students create a chemistry club. And that could be something. And your student chapter, that could be their project of getting them involved in the chemistry club aspect of it. And then you have that. And then what you need to do is you need to present that at an ACS meeting.
And then what I need to do is help you get me funding for this.
And I will, you will send me an email and I will help you do that.
But I think you just gave me an awesome to-do list to put this together. That sounds exciting.
Well, Miriam, thank you for coming and talking with us. And we got to stay in touch.
Definitely.
So that we can hear about the program.
Yes.
And maybe have a follow-up. You can be back on.
And if anybody's at New Orleans, we actually got accepted for Chem Ed.
All right.
And Gary Bonomo is his talk got implemented into the SciMix. So if you're there, come check us out.
All right. There you go. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you too.
You have been listening to ACS Voices, the diversity podcast produced by the American Chemical Society and 1016 Studios in Washington, D.C.